Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Captain Hunter's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for taking this ride with us. Today is part two of the dynamic interview with Dr. Dawn Perlmutter. Today, we're actually going to get into this Blue Lives Matter situation. Now, I've actually reached out to members of Blue Lives Matter. I've actually also reached out to members of Black Lives Matter. I want to interview both of those entities, so I'm still waiting to hear back. So let me just pause here just to talk about why I wanted to talk to members of Blue Lives Matter. Well, first, I am particularly troubled in the fact that they have taken and directly co-opted Black Lives Matter. Now, if members of law enforcement had a problem with Black Lives Matter, if they think that, as Sheriff Clark used to say, Black Lives Matter, or whatever, if you have a problem with them, law enforcement officials can have a dialogue and an argument with members of it and say that they're illegitimate, that they're exaggerating claims of excessive force and whatever else Black Lives Matter is complaining about. That's fine. But to co-opt the movement and say, you know, it's really about Blue Lives Matter, this presents a little bit of a problem because it makes it seem as if blue lives or police officers' lives are directly against Black Lives Matter. Now, people may have a problem or an issue with Black Lives Matter, then that's fine. But to co-opt the information, to co-opt the whole movement and to put one against another, there was a lieutenant, I believe she actually is a captain now, and I'm trying to get her on the podcast. In San Francisco Police Department, I believe her name is Yolanda Williams, and I'm actually reaching out to her to try to get her on the podcast. She is suing her department, San Francisco Police Department, for racial discrimination and things like that. This is a lieutenant at the time, and I believe she's now a captain. So whatever she's got going on, she's got going on. But part of her lawsuit claims that someone came up to her at one time and said, are you for Black Lives Matter or for Blue Lives Matter? And for one entity, particularly the police department, to think that you have to be directly opposed to Black Lives Matter, whether you agree with their message or not, I think is very problematic. And that's why I wanted to talk to members of Blue Lives Matter and ask them, why have you co-opted this particular name? You may have a problem with Black Lives Matter. That's fine. Have a dialogue with them. But to co-opt it and say, no, it's really about Black Lives, it is once again not helped to build these bridges and to bring these two entities together. The community, and in this instance, the Black community, is now seen to be pitted against the police officers. And this is a problem. And I don't understand why they did that, why they call themselves that. I don't have a problem with any police organization being very supportive of other police officers, being supportive of people trying to get the message out there. If there's a group of people who are saying that the police are always doing X, being abusive, aggressive, and the police officer want to push back against that narrative, that's fine. Nobody has a problem with that. I don't have a problem with them bringing about information, trying to get true information out there. That's all fine. But to directly oppose the Black Lives Matter organization, I think is very, very problematic. And I had a problem when I was a police officer seeing other people in my police department had Blue Lives Matter on there. Yes, Blue Lives Matter. Yes, police officers' lives matter. And that's why there's crimes already for assaulting police officers. There's crimes against assaulting firefighters when they're performing their duties, or nurses or paramedics, particularly in the state of Connecticut. These are all crimes when you assault someone for doing their job. That's fine. We all get it. Blue Lives Matter. Police lives have always mattered. The issue that Black Lives Matter, whether you agree with it or not, is that Black lives have not seemed to matter. They seem to throw us away. This has been done throughout history, from slavery to Jim Crow to lynchings to mass incarceration to underperforming schools, underfunded schools, to the crack epidemic. And we can see a certain disparity in how the crack epidemic was treated in the 1980s to how the current opioid epidemic is being treated now. And this is the heart of what people are saying, that Black lives matter. Our lives are important. So enough of me ranting about that. I want to talk to both groups. I reached out to Black Lives Matter. So if anybody's listening to this, you have a contact with any member of Black Lives Matter, please give them my information. Let them know that I want to talk to them. I've reached out to Blue Lives Matter, and I have not heard back from either one of these groups. So if anybody has any kind of inroads to them, please let them know that Captain Hunter wants to have them on the podcast, and we have a nice, decent conversation. In the meantime, we're going to continue on. Dr. Dawn Perlmutter wrote an article for Blue Lives Matter, and I just thought it would be very interesting to hear her perspective. The name of the article that Dr. Dawn Perlmutter wrote is "They Want to Make Blue Lives Matter Flag a Symbol of Racism. We Won't Let Them." So I came across this article in Law Enforcement Today. It was written back in July of 2019, and so I just reached out to her, and she was so kind enough to join us on the episode. If you want to hear Dr. Perlmutter's bio, then you got to listen to the previous episode. I'm not going to read it off again, but please go back to the previous episode. check that one out, and there you'll hear Perlmutter's bio. In just a few minutes, we're going to get into the episode, but I do want to remind you all, please subscribe to the episode, whether you're listening to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, whatever you're listening to this platform on, please make sure that you subscribe to it. Please rate the episode. If you rate it highly, that way the analytics and algorithms can boost up my probability of being found. And share the episode. Share it through email, through Twitter, through Facebook. Just share it with someone that you like. Share it with someone that you don't like. Make sure this information gets out there. Also, please consider going over to my Patreon page, Captain Hunter's Podcast on Patreon. For just a little bit of financial donations would help me so much in making sure that I'm able to read my special guest books. I will have access to their information, especially if they are academics and they have locked information that you have to pay for. It'll help me to pay for these things. It'll help me to be able to buy and download these books, so therefore I can read them to get this information out to you. I also want to upgrade the equipment that I have. I want to be able to get more guests on, 2-3 guests on at a time. That way we can have a nice dialogue and back and forth. So this is all going towards that type of help. So any little bit that you can do certainly would help out a lot. In return, you will get not only access to information, but you will get access to the show notes. Instead of you having to listen to the episodes and then have to write down certain things, if you wanted a book, you have to kind of remember what book did he say or what article did she write. So it'll all be included in the show notes. You sign up, you become a member of Patreon, and I'll make sure that I get your email address, and then I will email you the show notes. You'll be able to see the pictures of the people that I'm interviewing. You get their bio, you get access and links to the articles that they've written and to the books that they have written as well. If you don't want to do any of that and you still want to contribute somehow, I'm also on Cash App, CPTL Hunter, Venmo, CPTL Hunter, PayPal, Lawrence Hunter /CPTL Hunter. So these are all ways you can help to support the podcast and make sure that the work continues on. And without further ado, let's get into the episode. We're going to be talking about Blue Lives Matter. Here's the interview with Dr. Dawn Perlmutter.
I was reading through Blue Lives Matter, just looking for different things to talk about concerning that. And I came across your article in Law Enforcement Today. They want to make the Blue Lives Matter flag a symbol of racism. We won't let them. Now, here you are talking about symbols. So let's just delve into the symbol of racism. I mean, they obviously, in the article that you're referring to, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's obviously those, the Antifa groups, things like that. Can you explain just a little bit of why you wrote the article and where you're going with that?
Yeah, I wrote the article because it's really important when you do symbolism, what people hold in high regard, sacred symbols, whether it's the flag, whether it's a religious symbol, but even more important in terms of, again, crimes, is the desecration of sacred symbols. It's a very, very powerful statement. So the desecration of things that people hold sacred, it's not just vandalism. It has a lot more meaning to it. That's why I wrote about it, because, and this will be a nice way to describe how I came to it. When I go to a crime scene and somebody, I'm doing, you know, a homicide case, a lot of times they're deliberately desecrating that body. So the desecration of the body is the same, you know, the flag is a sacred symbol also. So when I write about this, it's a highly symbolic act and it's a highly symbolic object. And that's why it provokes so much emotion when it happens. And unfortunately, the Blue Lives Matter flag, which originated out of the Thin Blue Line flag, it became an insult because it was called the Blue Lives Matter. When, if it hadn't been called that, it would have still been vandalized, but I think that gave them more, that offended the Black Lives Matter movement, who feel that it's rude to them that the name co-opted the movement. So it became a whole controversy, but now it's gone beyond just the controversy. Now we have literally groups out there, anti-police groups, cop watch groups. I don't know if your audience is aware that Blue Lives Matter flags are stolen all the time from people's homes. They're burned. They're stolen from police officers' memorials. It's just become almost like a trend. It's become a trend to do that.
I did not know that until I read it in your article. I did not know that until, yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, and it's escalating. It's escalating. Speaking of the psychology of it, they're not just stealing the flag. They're stealing valor. They're stealing honor. They know what the symbolism is, especially when it's taken off of a fallen officer memorial. The psychology of that is that we don't like police, and we don't think you deserve to be a hero and have this flag here. Yeah. So I'm going to steal it. You know, it's disrespecting somebody in death. It's not allowing them to have dignity in death.
Right.
That is what's happening, and they probably get a thrill from it too. I mean, they understand the symbolism, and it's just really taken off. I mean, I started charting how, you know, every time one happened, and I have just dozens and dozens. I couldn't keep up, and that's how much it's escalated. And sometimes they'll deliberately do things on May 15th as a desecration of fallen officer holiday and or Memorial Day. They do it on specific days that are important also.
Right.
And that's another trend. Mm. So it's really disturbing. And the other thing your audience may be aware of is that fallen officer memorials are being vandalized in unbelievable numbers. I mean, they will literally go to a memorial in front of a police station, and if it's a granite memorial, they'll take a hammer to it. They don't just spray paint them. They literally knock them over to destroy them. It seems to provoke even more violence than just vandalism. And I think that, again, there's this, you know, frustration or whatever, that it's like, if you disrespect us, we're not going to allow you to have this memorial. We don't think of you as a hero. Now it's gone to another level also, where the Blue Lives Matter flag, there's a lot of specific groups that are literally petitioning and trying to get it designated a symbol of racism.
Right. That's what caught my attention the most about this particular article. In particular, as relationship to Black Lives Matter, I want to really kind of discuss that. What you're saying is absolutely fascinating. I did not know about the desecrations being knocked over, broken. I did not know all that. Obviously, that's terrible. But I wanted to really kind of focus on this racist aspect to it, in particular with Charlottesville. And I wanted to know where is all this coming from? Why do people think this? Why was it at Charlottesville? If you have any interest in that, please elaborate.
Well, in Charlottesville, there were white supremacists there. There were the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, there were definitely white supremacist groups. But Charlottesville also had people there that were not related to those groups, but did not want the statues being taken down. The whole Charlottesville was really over the fact that Confederate statues were being removed from that park. That was the whole reason for the protest and the vigil. There were people who weren't at all associated with the white supremacist groups that were carrying Blue Lives Matter flags that were there just because they don't think Confederate statues should have been taken down. Some of the alt-right groups are pro-police, and they will have the Blue Lives Matter flag. It doesn't mean that they're police officers carrying it. So that's where it got conflated.
Okay.
That's where it started getting conflated. Then there were sort of other incidents, but I think more than it being carried at Charlottesville, that just sort of allowed the people who are against it, it gave them kind of ammunition.
Right.
They really just, I think it's more about the fact that it's called the Blue Lives Matter flag. And they feel that it's a direct attempt by law enforcement to undermine their movement.
Well, have you explored that aspect? And I do think, and this is one problem that I had. I've retired now, obviously, but this one problem I did have when I was working. I have a problem with it now. I don't have a problem with officers standing by one another, fraternal orders and unions and just any type of social group. But I think that the Blue Lives Matter is kind of an attempt to undermine the Black Lives Matter. And I think that has caused a problem. And I think that is the problem.
And that's the heart of it.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I mean, if it, like I said, if it were named something else, If it wasn't called that and it was the same flag, the same, you know, the American flag with the stripe across it, I don't think it would have been as much of an issue. Right. But what's happened is now even the thin blue line flag, the Blue Lives Matter flag is a variation of the American flag. The thin blue line flag is a blue line with a black background. That's now being attacked also. So everything's being grouped in. But they're not trying to say that's racist. The Blue Lives Matter flag has been removed from police vehicles. It has been taken down from government buildings because it has offended people.
Yes.
This happens all the time with symbolism. I mean, between the statues, Columbus Day was torn. I mean, there's just so, over history, what we're talking about is actually called iconoclasm, the destruction of sacred images. And whenever a country, or over time, iconoclasm, the best example historically is when somebody loses a war. The first thing they'll do is go in, like Saddam Hussein. Right. When he fell, they knocked down all the statues. And anything, and then you plant your flag, and that's the new order. We're going through an iconoclastic time right now in the United States.
And that's profound right there, what you're saying. That's profound. You know, it really is. It really
thank
is.
You.
It really is. And I think that really, it really puts a stamp on what's going on. It really have defined what's going on. And I think that that's, and people are having a hard time with that. But please continue. Go ahead.
And we haven't settled on which symbols are going to be allowed and which ones aren't. So that's the symbolism is reflecting the conflicts that are going on in our society also. And it always does. I mean, and the ones that remain are the ones that end up representing what the culture is. That's where we're at right now. And it's not a war type thing, but this is what happens at different times in history when the culture is redefining itself.
It's not a war type thing, but it is. But there are obviously some battles or skirmishes, if you will, along the way, right? This is what we're seeing. I think, you know, the clashes, like you said, over the statues, the Confederate statues, the burning of the flag, the thin blue line flag. Yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying.
The pattern throughout history, whenever you're in an iconoclastic time, is normally a precursor for a civil war. I mean, historically.
I don't say that. Oh, jeez.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I mean, I shouldn't say civil war. Let me say, historically is a precursor for kind of like what we went through in the 60s with cultural clashes. I shouldn't have used the other term. But
no, I was only kidding about that. Use whatever term you think is appropriate. and if it's true, it's true.
I mean,
you know, if we can talk about it and head it off, then that'd be great, you know?
Yeah, it means that you have, it really is, it's a sign. It's showing you that symbolism reflects what's going on in your culture. And this fight over the flag, and flags, I mean, represent your culture more than anything. I mean, more than any other symbol, flag is indicative of what you're living under. So that's why the flag is such a dispute right now, and why it's so offensive to people who view it as racist.
Yeah.
They don't want to have it on government buildings.
That is disappointing to me because I do personally, obviously as a law enforcement officer, I like the flag, but I am, as I mentioned before, I am very disappointed. Let me read a little bit from your article. A little bit halfway down, it says, several anti-police organizations, including Antifa, Cop Watch, and Black Lives Matter, considered the Blue Lives Matter flag to be racist and a desecration of the American flag. The Blue Lives Matter movement is viewed by many members of the Black Lives Matter movement as a direct attempt by law enforcement to undermine their movement. Black Lives Matter members have referred to the flag as a terrorist symbol, a new version of the Confederate flag, and repackaged Nazi propaganda. It's definitely a sore spot when it comes to Black Lives Matter And I think that you are absolutely right, that if they would have called it something else or called the organization something else, I think the Blue Lives Matter, you know, everything I've read about it is correct. It was directly started in opposition to Black Lives Matter. And I think that that puts a lot of people in a very precarious and uneasy situation. I mean, here I am. I don't know if you looked at me up at all, but I'm a Black male. And I don't agree with everything that Black Lives Matter stands for, certainly it puts me at an odds when they're saying Blue Lives Matter. Well, why can't it be both? Why can't we just have something where I don't want to say all lives matter, but there's just, it seems to be an either or proposition that is being put before us. Either you're with the police or you're with the Black community. And that is such a dangerous, dangerous situation in place to put people in and to ask of your society, ask of the society. Either you're with the police or you're with the Black Lives Matter. And that, I think, is really a mistake on the Blue Lives Matter.
Yes, it's. I think it was a knee-jerk reaction to all the protests at the height of, you know, the allegations and police in Ferguson, and then it escalating into New York City. And I think it was just a knee-jerk reaction to call it that. They were also trying to somehow defend against that, and I don't know how it can be resolved, because what happens is once a symbol is out there, it's very hard to get, well, it's very, very difficult to get rid of them.
Right.
And that's what the desecration of them is. But by doing that, and if anybody knows anything about the history of iconoclasm, whenever people go around and try to remove the symbols, it just makes that group dig in more. You know, it just makes them, the only way to really do it is to completely abolish the group that has the symbols. That's why there's a lot of abolition movements right now. And that's because they understand, the people who are trying to even abolish police, abolish prisons, they understand that the only way, they don't believe in reform at that point. At that point, they think the only way that it can ever be done is complete abolition. And it's the same thing with the symbols. You either completely get rid of it or it's always going to be there. And sometimes the best way to do it is to replace it. When countries merge, or when sometimes they'll create a new flag, they'll, you know, and that's a way to solve it.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So I never even thought about it in the context of resolving it, because it's such a rare thing that they ever get resolved. But I do know that desecration of symbols has been the cause of wars, of murders. I mean, when, especially religious symbols, for example, there was, I guess about 6 years ago, where the desecration of the Quran, or Qurans were being burned.
Right.
Islam, they have very few sacred symbols, and that's one of them. And that literally would cause protests all around the world where people were being killed. That's how important symbolism is, a sacred symbol.
There was something going around as far as a Draw the Prophet Day or something like that, right? There was something similar where they were drawing the Prophet Muhammad just to anger the Muslims. Yeah. Yeah.
The cartoon contest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That was.
Right.
And saying it was free speech, which it is, but that exactly, another highly sacred symbol. And my point being that the desecration of sacred symbols always results in violence. So it's a very dangerous, there's always violence related to it. And there's a psychology to it also. When you have protests and people, there's levels to protest. When you have a group of people and they come together to burn an effigy or a flag, that becomes a ritual. And at that point, it literally escalates. People are more prone to riot once you've done that kind of ritual of burning something. There's a whole psychology to that also with crowd control. And it's because the burning of the sacred symbol, let me put it this way, symbolic violence always precedes actual violence. Every aspect of symbolic violence.
Doctor, continuing with the symbol of this blue, thin blue line, now I have on my screensaver a a Spartan helmet, if you can imagine this, a Spartan helmet, and it's got the, it almost looked like the American flag. As a matter of fact, I'll email it to you. My question is police officers have been adopting that Marvel Comics, I think you wrote about this as well, Marvel
the
Comics.
The Punisher,
yeah. So I went to a class, and I talked about that particular symbol and saying not to use it. And now I noticed it even more that many officers are using it. And I would like for officers to switch to either that Spartan helmet that I have. I saw Batman's signal with the thin blue line on it. Captain America, his shield. More positive role model type people rather than the Punisher, who was famous for going above and beyond, killing people, torture, things like that. So when police officers adopt that symbol, I think that that really says a very negative thing as far as the Punisher. I think if you want to be a superhero and take some type of symbolic imagery which says that you're tough and that you're a warrior, a guardian, I think Captain America, Batman, people who are upstanding would be better. Am I wrong in that analysis? Or?
Well, again, this is what happens. The Punisher symbol, like you said, has become very popular, especially when it has like the Blue Lives Matter flag on
right.
top of it.
Right.
And what happens is it evolves to people who aren't familiar or even know what the history is. They just think it's, all young officers may think it's just, okay, I know I've seen it associated with police and I think it's kind of cool and I like the idea that it's Punisher. I don't think all the police that are using it understand the history of it or that it's even offensive. And that's what happens when they start being used in the group. It's interesting that you brought that up because in one of the Cop Watch data Facebook projects where they were flagging what they said were racist police, one of the projects, they flagged about 30 Facebook pages because they had that symbol as their primary Facebook photo. And the police, those officers who had that, nothing on their site was racist. They weren't part of any white supremacy group. They weren't part of any violent groups, but were flagged because of that. And now they were put into these databases of racist officers or violent police brutality officers. And I don't think they even understood. I could be wrong, but that's just what happens with symbolism. After a while, nobody knows the original meaning of it. They just think it's kind of a cool symbol to have.
I got you.
Or they don't realize how offensive it is.
Right.
Let me put it this way. I don't think the officers who use that are committing extra use of force. But I think the people who look at that think they are.
And it
because of what the symbolism means. So it really gets tricky with these, and that was designated by a lot of the cop watch, these watch groups as a symbol of police brutality. That seems to be where the disconnect is. And as you say, the solution is you can adopt different ones.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Okay. People dig in, unfortunately. So, when you tell people you don't want them to use certain symbols, it just makes them want to use them more.
So you wrote another article for Front Page Mag called Cop Watch Database Endangers Police. Now, this is a little bit about what you talked about before, about the Plainview Project. And I think USA Today published something about something like 85,000 officers who were accused of misconduct. I did another podcast another episode in which I went off on USA Today because that was unfair. Just because someone has been accused of some type of misconduct doesn't mean that the misconduct charges were sustained. So USA Today really should not have published that. But if you could just go into a little bit about Cop Watch Database and Dangerous Police, the Plainview Project, if you could just talk a little bit about that a little bit more.
Yes. Well, first of all, let me just explain that these analysis of Facebook, they're not the only one. This is the latest trend with all these nonprofit groups, and they're compiling, they're going to Facebook, they're going through FOIA requests for use of force. The two types of databases out there are Facebook accounts and what they call use of force projects. And I can tell you this, most of the people doing these projects are extremely anti-police, and they have an agenda before they start, which is the worst thing you can do when you're doing research. And I did a thorough analysis of the Plainview project when it first happened. And because my doctoral research is in methodologies and symbolic methodologies, I really understand how to create these types of studies. And with everyone that I analyzed, they don't have the scientific, they don't have a methodology behind them. In other words, it basically came down to then finding police Facebook pages and deciding which things offended them, or they had certain categories that probably shouldn't have been in there and no justification for having them in there. So they were really biased to begin with. And the other problem with the study is they included officers that were retired for 10 years. I mean, the fact that they included people who had been retired for so long kind of skewed the data also, because they didn't tell you why they were no longer there. They didn't tell you if they had been fired. Maybe they were let go because of that. So there seemed to be calculated manipulation of the data. And there was absolutely a political bias too. Anybody who supported President Trump was included, and people who were commenting on Antifa were included. So, and then the media picked up on it. This is the worst part. The media picked up on it, and they treated it as if it were a statistical study, where they said 1 in 5 of the current officers and 2 in 5 former officers had content that was racist, Islamophobic, or, you know, misogynist. That's an incredible thing to put out to the press. And the woman who conducted the study had to admit that it wasn't a statistical study. So what's happening is that's just contributing to the war on police. I mean, people hear that and they really do believe that 2 out of 5 officers are racist. That's what I meant when I titled it, it's Endangering Police. The other aspect of all of these databases, which I think is abhorrent, is that I can understand them including the officer's name and the incident, but they deliberately put in their badge number, they put in their salaries, they put in as much personal information, because they're kind of doxing the officers. Putting in the salaries is just instilling resentment. It's not, and there were some officers that, you know, they actually did expose some, but when you're looking at thousands that you're going to, but I would say as much as a very high number did not belong in there. And the media just jumped all over those statistics. And it's also big business. They get a lot of money is going into funding these. They did it with the Border Patrol. That was another article I did that was targeted for a private.
I was going to ask about that.
I mean, so they're targeting, there's probably one coming out every month now because they're making a lot of money doing this.
Now they're getting money from donors? Where are they getting this money from to do this?
Well, some are nonprofit. Most of them are nonprofit. The Plainview Project was funded. She didn't disclose who funded it, but I'm positive that it's connected to the upcoming 2020 election. I think this is very political, and it's really trying. And unfortunately, the police are now being used as pawns. I think the thinking is if we can get all this information out and show that the police are corrupt, there's a lot of politicians who are running on not anti-police, but police reform and prison reform, and so it plays into what those politicians want.
Okay.
So I'm really upset over these databases. I know it would be a good study if they were done right. I think it would be good if they were done right, and I think also that before they were made public, that they should have been presented to the police departments that they studied.
I wish they had done that as well. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's just another kind of trend. And I'm sure, like I said, they're uncovering some things, but not at all to the degree that it's being presented as. A lot is cherry-picked and taken out of context. For example, there was one, I think one of the, they included the Facebook thing, where they would say, that animal, that person should be tortured and killed. Well, that comment was in response to a couple that murdered and tortured their child. But they're not telling you that part of it. You know what I mean? So that is bias. When you hear that, it looks like you have officers wanting to torture and kill people. But that was a response to somebody who posted a story about a murder. So you cannot omit information. And then, so it was manipulated. It was manipulated to present police in a certain light.
Wow. And that's unfortunate. Now, you talked about the war on police. Just explain what that is. One can read different articles and say that there isn't one. There is no war on police. It's all being made up. What's your opinion about that? Is there a war on police?
Well, I don't know. I think of it more like an epidemic where...
You actually
all
wrote that,
this,
too, in one article for the front page. The anti-police epidemic. I'm looking at it right now.
Yes. And I the difference is a war, an epidemic infects everyone. Where a war, you're taking sides. And I think all of the propaganda, all the different negative stories of police and none of the heroic stories that's being put out through media is kind of infecting popular culture, and it's becoming just a negative perspective. Everything, and in this particular article, which was written a couple of years ago, I talk about it in terms of Colin Kaepernick and how that became a symbol and how that became contagious, where everybody started doing that, and how an example of how it became contagious is that just all of these fast food restaurants, young people that work in them wouldn't serve police. It just became every little thing. You know, it wasn't right. Just like, oh, I hate police. It's becoming embedded in the culture.
Right.
And what shows that more than anything, another really big aspect of symbolism, is graffiti. The anti-police graffiti has even escalated. It used to be pigs. Now the graffiti, so much of it is kill cops. I mean, there's actually graffiti that a new meme that says save a life, kill a cop.
Wow.
And cops'
wow.
lives don't matter.
Right.
Shoot cops. So, and the, all my, you know, put wings on pigs, kill cops. So even the language in the graffiti has gone from just being anti-police to being actual threatening language, which is again showing an escalation in what's going on. So that's what I mean by, you know, it's epidemic. It's literally written on the walls.
And to your point before, as to first the icons and then followed by the actual violence. So people are writing this.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, they're actually going to be doing it.
Exactly. And it's interesting you said that, because when I do my training on this, I literally have a timeline where I show the graffiti and then an officers in that area who have been killed. And
wow.
And unbelievable patterns. And it's actually cyclical, because once an officer is killed, that increases the graffiti, which then increases the killing. I mean, there's literally patterns like that. You know, when Officer Goforth was shot, executed in Texas, all of a sudden there was a spike in graffiti about killing cops. Instead of being appalled by it, it was like, yay team. And then that inspired more. That's what I mean by symbolic violence precedes actual violence.
Is that an example of that ritualistic type of violence? Would that be considered ritualistic, where we kill one cop, get a positive response, we kill more? Would you consider that part of it?
No, that's more of a trend. Ritualistic would be different than that. That's okay. That's when they literally I guess it could be in some ways, but this is more of a trend, and the symbolism is basically just inspiring them. Ritual involves the action itself, and typically ritualistic crimes are not guns. They're usually knives. It's a little different.
I'm probably using ritualistic in the wrong, probably using the wrong word as far as ritual. But what I'm saying is that this, you get this positive reinforcement, however that would be classified, is first we see something in the news we don't like, we write something on the wall, next thing you know, somebody takes action and we get more writings on the wall, more positive reinforcement, we just continue on with that, you know, however that would be classified.
Yeah, exactly. It's cyclical, form of positive reinforcement. It's basically saying that you're getting fans. I mean, the other really sick aspect of this is that we're in the Twitter universe and the Instagram, and that more than anything has inspired this. I mean, there's literally hashtags, you know, the FTP, which stands for F the Police. There's so many hashtags that Fry 'em like bacon is a hashtag. Any city where there's been an officer involved shooting becomes a hashtag. And you should read what's on them. I mean, talk about that again, threats, and they support each other. That is a phenomenon that if you want to, I'm looking at the Plainview Project and the Cop Watch Project. I'm thinking, you really want to study violence? That's what you need to be analyzing on about what promotes violence. Start looking at those, but they won't, because it's absolutely political. I mean, if you really want to do something that's going to make a difference, look at some of those hashtags. It's horrifying what's on there. I can't believe it's legal half the time what's on there, but that gets them all going because there's a certain age group that they live on that.
Now, this age group, as far as these young people, as you mentioned before, some people don't even realize the meanings behind these symbols. So these hashtags and all that kind of stuff, more symbols. And I can remember my stepson. Now, he was a young kid. I mean, probably 9 or 10 or something like that at the time. He's in his 20s now, almost 30. And so he said to me, I was obviously a police officer at the time. And he said to me, you know, you cops do this, that, and the other. And I'm looking at him like, first of all, where are you learning this as a young age? Mm-hmm. I mean, he had to be 9 or 10. And, you know, I obviously had to correct him about, you know, cops don't do this. If you think they are, at least I don't do it. I've never done it and never seen it done. So I don't know where you're picking this up at. So my point is that, you know, these young kids are picking things up because of things that they've heard, read, or seen. And they don't understand, once again, the rituals, the symbols. They don't understand where this stuff comes from. And they're just kind of repeating it and then retweeting it, as you're saying, and then it's becoming a bigger and bigger problem amongst the young people who have no sense about what's going on in the world.
And that's the epidemic.
Right.
That's the infection. Once you have all of the propaganda out there, the anti-police bias, the video, Cop Watch does nothing but do videos. That's their main thing, reverse surveillance. And they take things out of context and edit them, and then you have the indoctrination in the schools, and that's what I mean. It's pervasive. It's infection that police are just not respected. And it's a completely different idea of there's no respect for it, for officers, because they're not being taught to. And that's all because of how everything's being presented. Even if there were a lot of problems with police, they're never presenting any good stuff. And it's like that with the news anyway. They're not going to always present heroic stories, but there's never any with officers. I mean, and again, it goes to everything we're seeing with buckets of water being thrown on them. I mean, you never saw that before.
Yeah, that's just crazy. And certainly police have a PR problem. I mean, they're trying to do better with their own Facebook pages and Twitters. But they've always had it, and it will continue to have a PR problem, you know. So they had to do their own PR, which is
There's cultural clash, and the symbolism is very, very important, and it affects everything.
This has been a very fascinating conversation, and I certainly appreciate it. I'm going to let you go. Can you tell us about what you're working on now? Are you working on anything special? Where can you be reached at? Or if somebody wants to get in contact with you or your books, can you promote yourself a little bit?
Oh, thank you. I'm actually working on a series of law enforcement guides, online law enforcement guides on different topics. One is anti-police symbology. So it just has all the different groups, and they're all like have very heavy images. One is on the cop watch movements. It involves, it's unbelievable. For example, there's mobile apps designed just to watch police. There's cop watch college. There's so many things that are going on. Then I have some that are very specific to particular groups, a law enforcement guide on eco-terrorist movement. And so a whole series, one is on anti-police operations. It deals again with tactics and things, anonymous doxing and all kinds of outrageous things. And I'm trying to make them very affordable, and they will start to be available next month. Probably can access them on my website, which is symbolintelligence.com. That's the latest project, and I'm always writing articles depending on what's going on. I'll watch something, I'll be like, oh, I have to write about that. So yeah, that is what I'm trying to focus on now. I also, if you have officers in your audience, sworn officers, if they sign up for my bulletins for our distribution list, we put out officer awareness bulletins every month that are on, again, I did one on Antifa probably 4 years ago before anybody knew who Antifa was. And it always shows the symbolism and tactics, and they're very highly visual. I did one on Hezbollah tattoos that people didn't even realize they had, but those are for officers only, and those are free. You just sign up on the website on the distribution list.
I saw that and I signed up. I put retired down there, so I hope that does. I hope I can still get
it. Yeah, that's so fine. Okay. That's good. Okay. Yes, okay. You'll get them. Right. And public safety retired is fine. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. I've been trying to launch databases. That's been more problematic technology-wise. But again, I my goal, other than just doing the research I've been doing, is trying to get it to officers who are on the front lines. I've written academic books. I can write academic articles. But I like to give information that officers need that they're not getting, either because of political correctness or because just red tape. It doesn't get out till 6 months after it's not valid anymore. So I'm really just try to support officers that way and get information that will help.
Well, thank you very much for your help. It's certainly greatly appreciated, especially for the officers on the front lines. I know that sometimes by the time a law gets passed, it's vetted through lawyers, goes through the administration, it can be months before the officers know what's going on the street. So we can streamline any of that. It's certainly greatly appreciated. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thanks for having me on. I've enjoyed talking to you.
I enjoyed talking to you. I am greatly impressed with you. I would certainly love to have you back. If you would certainly come back, I'd certainly love to have you back and talk about whatever you got going on. I can hear about your symbology and all that all day. The real life, what was her name in Silence of the Lambs?
What was her name?
I just watched
the movie. I don't remember.
Yeah, but real life here, FBI specialist. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for what you're doing as far as law enforcement. Thank you for all that you've done, and I'm hoping that you stick with this line of work as far as what you're doing as far as police officers, because that other stuff sounds really heavy, and I think that people can only take that for a certain amount of time.
You're right.
So, Dr. Perlmutter, thank you so much for being on Captain Hunter's podcast, and I hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The FBI profiler's name was Clarice Starling from Silence of the Lambs, just in case anybody was wondering who we were talking about there. So I certainly appreciate Dr. Perlmutter for coming on the show. Thank you so much to her. She has a wide range of knowledge. Thank you for all her work with law enforcement, all the bulletins that she's putting out, all the databases that she's organizing and putting together. And I certainly would be looking forward to having her back on the show. Maybe anytime that there's some kind of heinous crime, I'm going to give her a call and see if she can give us her insight onto what's going on with that. So thank you to her again. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Please make sure that you hit me up on Twitter, CPTLHunter. Instagram, CPTLHunter. HunterPoliceTraining.com is the website. HunterPoliceConsulting@gmail.com is the email address. Consider becoming a patron. Like I said before, it's only going to go to support the show. Also, if you want those show notes, make sure that you subscribe. Make sure I get your email and that you subscribe. You can also support the show through Venmo, CPTL Hunter, Cash App, CPTL Hunter. Everything's Captain L Hunter, CPTL Hunter, Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, Lawrence Hunter/CPTL Hunter. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, take care. Much love and peace.